Well, let's just go ahead and pray right off the bat. So let's just all bow our heads for a moment. And let's see what God wants to do today. Father, we thank you so much for what you want to do in each and every one of us today. You are so great. You are so awesome. You want to encounter us with your love, Father. And your love changes who we are, our identity. It changes us for forever and for all eternity. It changes the atmosphere around us. It changes our area of influence. It's so good your love does that for us. And Lord, we thank you, God, that you have great things in store for us, that we are deeply loved and totally accepted by you. And you're so good. We thank you, Father, for that. Now, Lord, as I just give this message that you've been giving to me all week, that I would communicate it clearly, that everyone's heart would be open to receive what you have given me to install in every one of these wonderful people, Father. I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. All right, CLCC. Good stuff's going on. Well, we're still in transition. I haven't left it yet. We're still there. I know you guys are like, man, we're still in transition. Yeah, but all my sermons have been about transition for the last three times. So we talked about before transition, we talked about transformation, and we talked about identity. We talked about practical transition, how we can transition practically. And then we talked about last time, we talked about capacity. What's your capacity? And I brought out the big old pots and the trash cans and the little cup and said, what is your capacity? What does God want to do in you? And how can you grow that? So the last thing, I think this is the last one. I'm not sure, but I think it's the last one in transition. Then we're going to go to something else. Is the journey. Oh, yes, the journey. And when I think about, you know, the journey, I think that I'm 40 now. I know. I'm so young and amazingly beautiful for 40. I get it. I get it all the time. It's okay. It's all right, church. But I think, wow, I'm 40, and then this song pops into my mind, and I'm like, you're halfway there, whoa, living on a prayer. Yeah, you know, I just song just goes in my head because I'm like, well, you know, 40's good. And that's the song that always pops into my mind. And then I think more rationally about the journey, and I think more of like this song. And I'm like, don't stop believing. You know, I mean, some of y'all might be a little young for that. I mean, I'm sorry if you are. You know, that's old 80s music. And it was good at the time. You know, some people like it, some people don't. And I know there's two people that really love that I was able to share that love of music with. And one of them was my coworker, Tanya. And we would rock out to 80s music. And we'd have a good time with that. And then one of my other friends from college, his name was Justin, and we'd rock out to that. We'd be blaring it in his car on the way to college and things like that. And it was good stuff. And, you know, if they are watching, and I just want to encourage you guys, Tanya and Justin, if you're watching, I just know that God has a certain place and a love for you guys that he wants to do some great things in your life. So I just want to let you know that, encourage you today with that. So the journey. That's what I think about when I think of journey. But now, when I think of the journey of life, I'm like, this is what I want the journey of life. So this is what I think. So we have a start right here. See, isn't that beautiful? Isn't that beautiful writing right there? Can you barely make that out? Yes, pretty much. So you start right here, and we think, all right, the journey. And there's the finish line. Yes, that's it. That's the journey. Wouldn't that be so nice? Wouldn't that be wonderful? When we love it, we just, oh, stop. Oh, there we go. And there's the finish. But how many of you know that life isn't always like that, is it? Oh, man. But don't we wish it was? Don't we wish the journey was like that? That our race was like that? Instead, this is what our race feels like. Well, where do we go? What's going on? How do we get from here to there on our journey sometimes? And I'm glad you asked that question, because I'm going to show you what God wants to do in our hearts. He guides us to the end, to the finish. We know where we start. We start with him and Christ. And then we know the finish. We know that, like in Timothy, 2 Timothy 4, 6 through 8, for I, like Paul says, for I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time for my departure is near. I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I've kept the faith. Now there is in store for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also all who have longed for his appearing. So we know that Revelation 21, this is where it ends. And Revelation 21 tells us about, we win. The Lord wins. He conquers everything, the evil one. There's no more tears. We have new bodies, new things going on, and we're accepted by him, and we live for eternity. And that sounds wonderful, doesn't it, Jack? Amen. Yeah, that's right. Sounds good. But sometimes our journey goes like this, 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 that, that, that. And sometimes we feel like, wow, this finish line's, we're not going towards it, seems like, but we are. And then sometimes it goes a little further, a little better. And then it kind of goes back around and we're like, God, where are you taking me through this? Doesn't it feel like that sometimes? Like, God, where are we going on this journey? It's kind of crazy. I mean, I could think about like Abraham, when God said to him in Genesis 12, 1 through 3, the Lord had said to Abram, that's before he was Abraham, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to a land I will show you. He didn't even say where the land was yet. He just says, get up and go. How many of you will have enough faith to have the Lord say, all right, I want you to go. I want you to sell your house, you know, get your kids up, and you're just going to go. Pack the car and let's go. That would be frightening. I'm just saying right out now. And that would have to be God, because I'd be like, I got to get 4 kids. We got to sell the house, got to do all this stuff. And it's like, oh my gosh, what would we, I don't know. And he wasn't. He was a wealthy man, Abram, at that time, from his father's household. He had stuff there, so he had to bring all that stuff with him. And the Lord provided to him where to go. To me, just thinking about that, it's just like, wow. Imagine that. It's just, to me, it's like, wow. That's a lot of faith right there. And it was accredited to him as righteousness for that faith. So we see how the journey goes sometimes. We see the start of it. And then we see the end, and we're like, all right, this is where we want the end to be. And then we forget about it's easy to forget about how tough it is to go through the journey. Because when we look at the end, we love the end, don't we, Jack? We love that end. We love that end. But it's the journey that helps us and shows God's awesomeness in our lives. It really is. We can't be, and here's a good quote for you. You ready? You ready for this quote? This is a good one right here. Straight from the throne room. This is like Bethel good right here. This is really, you can tweet this. You can text it to your friends. This is good. All right, ready? We can't be so future-minded that we are not presently active. It's true. We can't be so future-minded. We can't be so focused on, you know, by and by, pie in the sky, heaven, you know, all that wonderful stuff up there, that we are not presently active on our journey. Because Jesus comes and dwells inside of us to help us through this journey. And it keeps affecting others around us. See, we walk in this journey together with others, with our area of influence. It's not just us on this journey. We go through this journey of life with many other people. And when we forget about where God wants to take us, we can get just so focused on ourselves, we forget about why we're here in the first place. I mean, think of it. If Jesus would have went straight to where he was going and didn't stop into Samaria and didn't meet the woman at the well, we would not have heard that story whatsoever. Those people in that town would never have been affected by what Jesus had. That woman would still be where she was, and nothing would have changed. We have to realize that even though we're going through this journey, and sometimes there's some tough things that happen, we have to realize that we're in this journey for the Lord, yes, but also to touch other people in our area of influence. And when we get so caught up in the finish line, we forget about how we're supposed to affect other people. If Jesus would have said, all right, I'm here, I'm going straight to the cross, and didn't talk to anybody or do anything, that wouldn't have fulfilled what he had came to do. What if he would have said, all right, from the Garden of Gethsemane, and he got arrested right there, and then boom, he died right then and there, not on the cross, he just died right then and there, and said, okay, your sins are forgiven. It doesn't work like that. It can't work like that. He had to go through his own journey. He had to go through his own destiny to fulfill what God has. Just like us, we have to go through our own journey to fulfill what God has for us. And we can't get so caught up on the finish. One of the things that I regret in life is when we moved down here in 2016, well, we moved down here in 2015. But in 2016, Stephanie became pregnant, and we had Evelyn. Yay, my third child. So yay, it's good stuff. But one of the things I regret is I'm not a big fan of infant babies. I'm just not. It's just not. I know some people love the throw up and the cuddling and the cooing and all that stuff. I mean, that's great. Y'all can take it. Y'all can have it. I'm good. That is not my favorite part of childhood. Of being a parent is that maybe when I'm a grandparent, I might change. But for right now, as a parent, I'm good. And I'm just like, I remember that. And I was like, oh my gosh. Jesus. And the sleepless nights. Oh my gosh. I was like walking around like a zombie half the time because, you know, he's crying. And then she had her days and nights mixed up for a little while. And you're like, oh my gosh, what is going on? And so I had all of that going on. And then I got future-minded. I can't wait until finally she gets out of this infant stage. I can't wait till she finally gets out of this where she becomes a toddler then. And then, you know, then it'll be good. So, have you met my daughter? No, she's wonderful. She's wonderful. But then I got future-minded. And then I was like, okay, we got to get this. We got to get this. And I became so focused on getting her to the age of 2 or 3 that I neglected my other 2 kids. I became so focused on having her get to that age, doing things, making sure she's all, that I feel like I lost 2 years of my kids with Abby and Samuel. I feel like I lost that. Because I was so focused on that future mind, getting Evelyn right, getting her potty trained, getting her all this stuff. And it was nice when it all happened, but then I realized, hey, Samuel and Abby are 2 years older and I really didn't do as much as I could with them. I lost that 2 years. And that's a regret that I have. Now, the Lord does heal things and, you know, he does great things in us and through us, and I've been able to do great things with them this time. But I learned a lesson that I can't be so future-minded that I'm not presently active. I can't do that. And that's what we have to do as Christians. We can't be so future-minded about what happens at the end, which it's awesome. There's no doubt. We celebrate. We're going to have a great time. But we're here for a purpose. We're here for a plan. God is so good. He guides. He provides. He's a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path, is what he says, right? Because sometimes in this journey, we still are not seeing how we're going to get to the finish line. God does some great things in us and through us, and he takes us around different ways to do things. And when we think, we're like, okay, I kind of see it, but then it's not quite what we thought. And it's okay. Because our steps are ordered with him. It's a good thing. So a few things that God shows us about the journey. A few things. So I want to talk about 3 things real quick. So number 1 is God's plan and destiny for you. Did you know that you are special? Did you know that? You are. That you're made in His image. That you are awesome. That He loves you very much. You can have great identity in being a son or daughter of God. And that's all the identity you need. Not based on, you know, what you've done. Not based on your works. Not based on your success. Or even American success. He loves you. That's awesome. He died for you. That's amazing. It's great. God's plan and destiny for your life is part of that journey. Because He has so many things He wants to do in you and through you. He has a plan for you. But you have to accept it. I mean, we all have, He made us, it is such a, I love this, because He made us in such a loving way that He gives us free will to do whatever we want. You can do whatever you want. You can follow Him. You don't have to follow Him. He gives you the free will. But if you choose to follow Him, there's so much more fulfillment in that. More so than living for yourself. I've lived for myself. I've lived with Him. And by far, living for Him is way better. Now, it's not necessarily easier at times. Life is hard sometimes. Life is very hard sometimes. That journey, wherever it's going sometimes, can be very difficult. No doubt about that. And during certain seasons, it becomes very difficult. And then you're like, what's going on? But in those seasons that it's difficult, God is there. And that's something that can't be replaced with anything. For a hopeless world, there is no hope. For people that are starving, for people that are surrounded in debt, for people that have no hope, there isn't. But for us, we have the light of the world. We have hope. We know that He's going to take care of all of our needs according to His riches and glory. That we have a plan, that we have a purpose, that we have an identity. And it's not to just affect us, but to affect others. Number two is character. The journey shows us God's plan and our destiny. God shows about, also the journey shows us our character. Now I love this story of my father. He was 22, 23 at the time. And he was driving his convertible. It wasn't like a Corvette convertible. It was just a convertible. It had the top down. So he was driving up to his parents' lake cottage. And they just came off. And he had a few teammates in the back of him. He was playing baseball. They just came off with a big win. Big game win. Big game. They were all celebrating. Yes, we won this game. It was amazing. So it was really a substantial game. And so they're riding this curvy road and everything like that. And he's like, all right, this is so great. I'll be up here with my friends. And then his friends talk about, hey, let's have a beer or two and things like that. And my dad's like, all right, sure, yeah, why not? And then something happened in his spirit where he's like, the Lord kind of gave him a check. He's like, well, Lord, do you mind? Do you mind? It's nothing hard. It's nothing that's going to hurt me. I'm going to be there. I'm not driving drunk or anything like that. I'm just going to go there and have a few beers with my friends. It's going to be a good time. We're just celebrating for what we did. We won this big game. Great time. We're ready. We're ready to have a good time. He's like, Lord, is it okay? And so while he's driving on the road, he's asking Lord this whole time, do you mind? Do you mind? You know, God, I mean, it's, you know, I'm just here with my friends. You know, we're just going to have a good time. Do you mind if I have a few beers with them? And he's just doing that, and it's late at night, and so they're driving along the way, and then all of a sudden, my father hits the side of the road by accident. He takes a curve a little too tight, hits the side of the road, and then the car jumps off the winding road and hits a tree, and him and his friends are thrown from the car. And this is when he's in college, and so then he wakes up. From the accident, he's thrown from the car. All of them are thrown from the car. He wakes up, he looks around, he sees the cars into a tree. And he's looking around, he's like, looking for his friend. He's like, Terry, Andrew, where are you guys? So he gets up, he's not really hurt. Praise the Lord for that. He's like, Terry, Andrew, where are you guys? And then the Lord said to my father, yes, I do mind, because I have character I want to build in you. Now, I'm not saying that having a few beers is bad. I'm not saying anything about that. I'm saying for our individual journey, God has character in store for us that's going to affect our surroundings. And because he didn't have those few beers with his friends, he was able to minister to them in a way he never could have if he had that. Character goes with the journey. They were fine. Yes, I know. You're like, oh, were they okay? Yes. You're like, I'll leave you on that. Were they okay? No. So they were fine. They were thrown from the car. They had a few scratches and bruises, but they were okay. I know. It's like, oh, I left you hanging in that, Trish. I really did. It was on purpose. So you're like, oh my goodness, I don't know. No, they were fine. There was some scraping, some bruises and things like that. The worst part is when he had to call his mom and dad and tell him he wrecked the car. That was not good. That was not good. So he really needed some character then. I'll tell you that right now. But so character. And then the third thing that goes with the journey is our testimony with others. And that relates back to character. God chose Israel to be his people in the Old Testament. He's like, these are my people. I'm going to use you guys to show how awesome I am to all these other nations if they would serve me. And now, in the New Testament, he says, these are my children. These are my Christians. I want to show my power, my glory to all of them and show the world. He wants to do that in each and every one of us. And it's not just to show him, but to further his kingdom. Do you know, wherever you go, you enhance and further his kingdom? Did you realize that? Isn't that awesome? His kingdom. The Lord's kingdom right there is being made through us. And he chooses to do it through us. He can do it all by himself if he really wanted to. God is that good. God is that amazing. That, but he chooses not to, because he made us for a certain reason and a purpose. He wants to use us to minister to others. It's our testimony. So when we're down here on this journey, we're not only affecting us, like I said, but we're affecting others. And others of us will come along and join us, which is awesome, because God loves great rejoicing for that. And we have great rejoicing for that, because we know where the end will be. But it's so nice to be able to journey together. Isn't it nice to journey together with someone else? Isn't it nice? Does it feel good? When you're walking all by yourself, isn't that tough at times? It can be tough. But when you have somebody else to encourage you, like, hey, I'm so happy you called. Let me tell you about what God's doing in my life. Or when you have like a little bit of a rougher day, you're like, and that person calls, you know, hey, I just felt like the Lord to give you a call and encourage you. Isn't it so amazing when that happens? Because he knows what we need. So this journey, we keep going towards the finish line. I think, now this is me personally, I feel like this journey is like a game of golf. I really do. I really do. And I'll tell you why. I feel like this journey is like a game of golf. Now, if you don't play golf, I'm sorry. It's the toughest sport there is. I'm just going to say it right now. It's the toughest sport. It's not the most physically demanding sport, but it is the toughest sport mentally and physically, I believe, that you can play. And I've played a lot of sports. I've wrestled. I've played football, basketball. I've not done water polo, although that would be tough physically. But I've done a lot of these other sports, basketball. I've done all these different sports, and I still think golf is the toughest sport. It really is. So golf, on this journey, you got to get to the course first. You got to get to the course. So getting there, you know, you get to the course, and then you got to develop your own swing. You got to develop your own swing. And if there's something wrong with your swing, you're all of a sudden not going to be effective whatsoever. If you have a bad swing, you won't be able to hit the ball whatsoever. So then you're already having a tough time. And then you've got all these, we'll say these holes. So right here to right here. So you got to tee it up. You go on the tee right here. You try to hit it to the green. And you have so many shots to do that. And it makes it really tough, because then sometimes you hit it way left, or you hit it way right, or you hit it in the woods, or you hit in the water. And it just keeps on getting, that ball doesn't go where you want it to sometimes. It's very frustrating. Me and Scott were out there yesterday on the golf course, and we had some frustrating moments. It was not happy. We were not happy. Some holes. It was very frustrating because it maybe, so when you swing a golf club, so you swing, I'm sure people have seen how you swing a golf club. When you swing a golf club, you want to make it back, draw it forward. But if you're like, if you do anything wrong with that form, that ball does not go where it needs to go. If we have something that God is dealing with, if we have something that hurts our relationship with God, we're not going to be able to go where we need to be. We're not going to be able to minister how we can. And how awesome it is when we get to the green, and then we have to make a putt. And reading greens and putts are very difficult. It's not like your little putt-putt where you have borders. That's nice. Having borders is nice. You're like, you'd hit against the wall and it would bounce around, things like that. If you hit a golf ball too hard, it goes off the green and down around, and maybe goes to the water, maybe goes into the bunker, something like that. It's just everywhere. There's no borders unless it's out of bounds, and then you have to drop a shot, and it's just a mess. It's just a mess. It's a tough game to play. Y'all don't understand. I mean, if you play, you know it's tough. And you're like, you can have a great shot. And the worst part about golf, I believe, is you can have a great shot, amazing shot. And then the very next shot, you can mess up so bad that you're like, I quit this game. It is the only game, I feel like, where you can quit at least 10 times on one hole. It is. It's true. I mean, I was playing with Gavin yesterday, with Scott Gavin, and he's like, he made a bad shot, unfortunately, and, you know, it's golf. It's hard. Golf is hard. And he's like, I quit this game. He said, I quit. I'm done. And then on the next tee, he's like, all right, I'm playing again. So, I mean, it's a tough game. It was tough. And life is tough. There's a lot of challenges we have to go through and go through. But let me tell you, the journey is tough. But God has a plan and a destiny for us. That journey helps produce character in us. And then we can minister to testimony to others. That's what we can do. So let's just go ahead and pray. If everyone would bow their heads for a moment. The Lord wanted me to talk on three things. And first of all, as just we're just in prayer right now, just our eyes closed, heads bowed. The Lord said three things to me he want to bring up. He said that some of us haven't really started that journey yet with him. That maybe you started a while back, or maybe you never started at the beginning. You know, and you've gone through life a little bit, and you're like, you know what? What you said, Pastor Van, is very true. I haven't really thought about my journey with Jesus at all. And I just want to say, I'd love to talk to you more about that after service. I'd love to talk to you more about that. The second thing God said is, I want to pray for some of those on that journey. Some that have lost hope. Some that have lost faith. Some that's lost joy or even companionship. I want to pray for you guys as well. And then also want to pray thirdly, is that we all would be revived, that we all would be encouraged today to pursue him and to live this journey the best we can. Because I know every one of us wants to hear from the Father, the one who matters the most, well done, my good and faithful servant. There's no greater thing that we could ever hear where the Lord of the universe, the God who made everything and where nothing is impossible, says, well done to you. What a great time that would be. So Father, right now, I lift up those that have lost hope, faith, joy, and companionship along this journey. This journey's tough sometimes, Lord. You know it. You lived it. You had things you had to put up with. You had things that you couldn't believe that happened. And Lord, I thank you, Father, that you are never leaving us nor forsaking us in this journey. We thank you, Father. We praise you. We may not understand why we're going through some of the things that we're going through. But Father, even if we don't understand, you are still good. You are still awesome. And we will use where we are now to proclaim your name and to show others how great you are. Even if we're not in the best of place right now, you still are God. And you can make the impossible possible. You can change any circumstance, any situation. And you can make it for our good because we love you. We thank you, Father, that you're filling us with hope, with faith, with love, with joy, with companionship right now. We thank you, Father, that you're encouraging us, that you're cheering us on, that we have a multitude of witnesses cheering us on in this journey. That you've put people in our paths, like myself, like Pastor Steve, like other members in this congregation, Pastor Kurt, Pastor Steph. You've brought other people in this congregation together to encourage and strengthen one another. And not just the ones in leadership, but the body of believers. People even outside this church, people at other churches that we're friends with, that encourage us. We thank you, Father, that you have great things in store for us, that you love us so much, that our identity is in you. Father, help us to continue on this journey, to do our best, not to be so future-minded that we're not presently active, but to embrace the journey because you can do great things in us and through us as we continue on. And there are others we're supposed to bring with us. We thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Amen. If you would like prayer about any certain thing, we're going to be available for you. But I just want to encourage you guys. We're going to go downstairs. We're going to have a great picnic. Are you guys hungry? Yeah, I'd say I'm getting there. And I didn't take 2 hours like I promised. Well, you guys be blessed. Have a wonderful day, and you guys are dismissed.